Great. Thank you so much, Ellen. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday morning. My name is Melissa Taylor. I'm one of the co-founders of Health Rosetta, and I appreciate you joining us today. Whether this is your first employer webinar with us or you've been joining for a few of them, we appreciate the opportunity to share what's working out in the industry and hope that you will join us for that journey. So today, we will be visiting with Joey Wong and Bryce Heinbaugh and talking about their experience putting in various Health Rosetta components and the impact that had on the auto dealership that Joey runs. So Bryce, Joey, welcome this morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Bryce,
good morning.
Do you want to start with introducing yourself?
Sure, I can. Bryce Heinbaugh. We're just about an hour east of Cleveland in a town called Ashtabula, Ohio, a bit Midwest, and certainly one in which healthcare hospitals are highly competitive in our neck of the woods. So Health Rosetta and the cost containment strategies that we look to do here can be powerful and certainly with great reward. So it's a pleasure to be on the call today, and certainly with our longest running client that's been following these strategies and principles for going on about 7.5 years now. So we're excited to go through this conversation with you today, Melissa.
Thanks so much. And Joey, can you do a quick introduction?
Hi, good morning. My name is Joey Wong. We have 6 dealerships in our group. We go all the way from Ashtabula, Ohio, and our farthest store is 3 hours south down in Columbus, Ohio. We carry all franchises pretty much from Honda, Hyundai, Kia, the Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Chevrolet, and Buick GMC. My background's a little unique. I'm actually a dentist. I graduated from dental school at Ohio State University, and my whole family's medicine. So my dad's obstetrician gynecologist, and both my brother and sister are physicians too. So a little bit of the black sheep of the family being in the car business, but my work doesn't feel like work.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And so, Bryce, I'll maybe let you kick it off and just give us an overview of how you got started, what you implemented first, and just a quick overview of what the journey with this health benefits plan has looked like.
Sure. Okay. So back in 2013, I had an opportunity. Joey had just, I believe at that time, he had just closed on his third store. And at that time, I had insured that third store. So the seller mentioned to Joey, hey, you should have a conversation with Bryce Heinbaugh about the healthcare plan for all the stores. And so we sat down, and at that time, Great Lakes Auto was in a auto dealer association, which most large cities have, and are all familiar. Most of those association plans, a great deal of them, are on a fully insured basis. So we had in front of us a plan that was, I'll just say it was not a high performance plan, a bit mediocre. It was fully insured with in the state of Ohio, the largest insurance carrier is called Medical Mutual. And so at that point in time, we sat down and had a conversation with Joey and had kind of a strategy that was a bit on the cutting edge side. He was a very early adopter. But we wanted to talk to him first about going self-funded with an independent third-party administrator. That alone, for obvious reasons like data as well as autonomy and decision-making. But secondly, we want to talk about a strategy that this particular TPA was using and had some success with out on the West Coast with a large employer group in California, and it was called reference-based pricing. And so to have that conversation that day, and have, as Joey had mentioned, with his family's clinical background and even he himself, we're talking about reimbursements, and we're talking about controlling the price that we pay to hospitals and doctors. And so, you know, if there was anyone that was the appropriate target market for understanding reference-based pricing before it even kind of became mainstream, certainly Great Lakes Auto and Joey Wong, they were the one we wanted to talk to. So I specifically remember Joey said, "Hey, you know, thanks for the meeting. Everything sounds good, but I want to talk to my family. I want to run it past, you know, mom and dad and maybe sister, brother, and just kind of get an idea what their thoughts are about receiving 130% of whatever Medicare would reimburse. Is that good for their business, their practices, or is it bad?" And Bryce, I'll get back to you after I have that conversation. And so that was the beginning, and it wasn't very long after that Joey called back and said, "We're going to do this, and we're going to adopt it, and we're going to do it now." And so that was the start.
I still remember that too, Bryce. You know, it was kind of a great conversation to have with my father. He says, "Hey, Dad, you know what? If you accept this from Medicare, and you know, there's a big difference between that and the private insurance, do you guys spend the time and the money and the effort to go chase, you know, that patient, you know, for the balance?" And, you know, pretty much frankly said no. Asked my sister, asked everyone there, Joey, no, we're not, that's not what we do. So it made it pretty easy having listened to my parents, understanding that, you know, here healthcare has made many changes, but this is a big time for us. You know, we've watched for years our healthcare costs go up per employee. And you know what? In today's world where everybody's paying the same price, but we all don't make the same money, you know, our mechanics are hardworking guys and girls. And what happens then for them, it's a big percentage of what they make has to come out toward healthcare. And year after year to have 20% increases is tough. You know, for me today, I am going to become our chairman of Greater Cleveland Auto Dealers Association's dealer body. And we have 280 dealerships here in Cleveland. And the majority of us are with our healthcare from our auto association. You know, myself and a few other ones that are not, but it's really been a big advantage to us. So thank you, Bryce.
All right. And Bryce and Joey, I would love to hear a little bit more because these are big changes. You talked about this discussions with your family about the medical provider perspective. Can you talk about getting the folks internally on board? What did that process look like?
Do you want me to answer that or Bryce answering that? Or I have no problem answering. So you know what, for our employees, it was a pretty easy change. You know, always any change is tough. But when it comes with money, it's a pretty big eye-opener, right? I think probably the hardest part of our change was probably they weren't used to the insurance card not saying a big name on it, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield or a medical mutual. In fact, I still remember going in and giving the name and the receptionist or the office lady, she literally looked at a list going, "Well, what's that? Is that an insurance company?" You know, that kind of comment would come. But the truth of it is, it really was, that was probably the big you know, change that had to be made. You know, our probably next biggest change was somewhere in mid-2015. You know, we have two big health providers in Cleveland. We have the Cleveland Clinic, and we also have University Hospitals. And at that time, the Cleveland Clinic offered not to be able to accept our insurance anymore. But we were still okay, and our employees worked with it because they realized the savings. We also remember the years of pain of really watching our premiums go up. You know, I still remember, you know, technicians, it was $700-$800 a month. It got up to probably $1,400-$1,500 a month for them and the family. It was big money. It was a lot that we talked about.
Yeah, I know some of the articles that have been written talk about the savings. Bryce, do you want to talk about what those savings have looked like?
Sure, yeah. So I can easily remember the first year that we had implemented the program. We actually came in at about a, it was about a 38% savings compared to the Cleveland Auto Dealers Association and the fully insured plan that they were on. We left the plans exactly, the schedule of benefits the same. Great Lakes Auto has had two plans offered since then, a traditional style plan with co-pays and a plan under a high deductible for health savings account options where, again, a lot, you know, some of the higher income earners could sock away some tax deductible and tax-free dollars for retirement. So we kept the plans the same and quite frankly, just changed the way we were reimbursing, again, going also to an independent TPA, 38% savings. Again, there is a share that employees do share the in the premiums. So both the employer and the employees saw an immediate savings. And I'll tell you, in the very first year upon that 12th month when we went to look at its first renewal, at that point in time, we had a surplus in the Great Lakes claims account. And I'm going to back up a quick second. When we started this program, as mentioned, there were just a few, you know, three stores at the time, and they were just getting ready to close on their fourth. But we had a lower number of enrolled employees, under 100. So we were on a level funded stop loss contract. And at the end of that first 12 months at renewal, we were able to take back in surplus about $140,000. That's really where if there was any disruption with how their insurance worked, or like Joey said, at a front desk of a physician's office, having to explain, you know, yeah, this isn't Blue Cross, but call the number on the back of the card. It's insurance. We're self-insured, you know. If there were any headaches with that, when that money, that surplus came back, Great Lakes at that time, Joey and his partner, John, decided, hey, we're going to give this back as a healthcare holiday. And powerful that was. And so that was
$140,000 for about 100 members.
Yeah.
$1,400 a member.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So very, very impactful to everyone, especially the hardworking folks there that, you know, may not make a great deal of money, you know, and it was something that, hey, the insurance at that time, the insurance plan didn't change. There was not a, you know, big deductible. We still, 7 years later, have not changed the deductible on either one of those plans unless mandated by, you know, the IRS for HSA minimums. But the plans still have remained the same, and the price is stable. And so we've looked at this year over year. And the one thing that I want to point out, because Joey said it, in 2015, when Cleveland Clinic kind of put their foot down and really aggressively came out against reference-based pricing, TPAs that were doing RBP, you know, I came to Joey and John and said, listen, you know, if this is such a great problem, we can lease a network. We can put a network back on this plan. But we're also then going to have to share the news with everyone that it's probably going to be a minimum 30% jump in premiums immediately. And if that's something you want to do, great. I can work on trying to communicate that to your people. But it's up to you. And I still respect Joey's. We're just not going to do it.
Wow. Those are some big savings. So I would love to hear more about the process of letting the employees know. I know you've done some interesting things around bringing in a nurse navigator with some of the savings. Can you talk about those processes and how those decisions got made?
Sure. I'll start, and then I'll let Joey kind of wrap this point up about nurse navigators. So again, almost over half of the years that we've had this plan, there's been a surplus at the end of each plan year. And sometimes we'll let it ride, and other times, you know, we'll bring it back, you know, out of the claims account. But this past year, so 12 months ago, we had a surplus and an opportunity to do a few new things for the plan, and improving, our goal here was to really improve patient advocacy. About, again, 18 months ago, I had made a decision to start hiring nurses on my staff, because it's very easy to find nurses from major hospital systems that have been burned out over the years. There's a lot of demand on their shoulders, and they just get burned out. And so I have a couple nurses that work for us, and we went to Joey and said, hey, you know, got a kind of, again, another early adopter you would be, but we have a plan for a concierge nurse navigator program for your employees, and anyone enrolled and their families. It's like having a nurse in their family, you know, immediate family, to help answer questions that a physician or, you know, someone, a new diagnosis may happen, or where to go for care, all these sorts of things. And again, I'll turn it over to Joey, because if he could, wants to just touch on his thoughts with giving us the okay on that, and what he felt it could do for his staff.
You know, Bryce, I still remember when you brought it up to me, and, you know, for me, you know, being in a physician family, you know, we always have someone to be able to call, let it be a brother, sister, or even cousins. There's always somebody to call. So you almost take it for granted. And it brought up a very special time for when our employees would just call me and say, hey, could you help me out here? Could you do this? But, you know, a lot of people don't want to ask because they feel they're imposing, right? So to have Nurse Navigator there makes it very, very easy for them. You know, for what you or I may take as granted, because we're always dealing with healthcare, for them, when there's a problem that comes up, it's a big time. You know, probably a real big example would be my service manager at our Jeep store, having a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty walking. And, you know, for him to get to a good hospital nearby us for an appointment, it was 7 to 8 weeks. He struggled. He was missing some work, and he never even called me, but he felt very comfortable calling the nurse navigator. And that nurse navigator ended up switching the hospital, coming up with a better process for him, and coming up with a solution that got him out of pain quicker and also gave him great guidance. I mean, for him, he is so thankful for that, because he didn't even know a nurse navigator would have been there for him until we educated him, until he really, you did that part and got it to our employees. So it's been great. It's been a home run. It really has been.
I love hearing stories like that. It just, these are real people's lives, right? So it's funny, because with Health Rosetta, we talk about the Health Rosetta dividend. And so that's, yes, the $1,400 that you return to the employees in that first year, but the dividend also comes in terms of better health. And I think, Joey, you had mentioned that, you know, this particular employee had been missing work. And so reducing the amount of time people miss work for healthcare reasons makes a big difference. We've had people who have also experienced better recruiting and retention. Have you seen an impact on that type of area in your business, Joey?
You know, for sure. You know, when your people and yourself are able to be able to really use this tool as a recruiting part, it's big, right? So there's a few things. When we're all on an even playing field in the market, and everybody's paying the same price on healthcare, and it's an expensive part, and you're able to offer healthcare at a discount compared to everyone else, that becomes a good retention and recruiting tool. You know, when you're able to give extra services like Nurse Navigator, and maybe somebody else is not able to do that, that again becomes an added benefit and such a big part of what's important to these families. So, you know, it's an easy part for me to talk about, because I am excited to always talk about our healthcare plan. I really am. And it's something that's a big advantage at Great Lakes and through our group. And you know, in the dealership group or in any kind of really company, you're going to have people of all ages. You know, I think sometimes with a younger employee group of, you know, in their 20s, it's not really on their mind. You know, when you have them in their families and they get to the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, it's a huge part. It's great to be able to offer this.
Excellent. And so, Bryce, you've done this at a number of companies. What would you say are some of the interesting aspects of working with Great Lakes and their process of adoption and just general lessons you've learned from implementing these maybe somewhat out of the ordinary but also common sense solutions?
Sure. Again, because we had the opportunity to be, you know, forward with Great Lakes, and they're, again, they were really our first adopters of these different strategies. And, you know, I can say they've kind of been a test pilot, which has been wonderful. You know, we've learned a bunch on how to actually effectively communicate our message to employees. When we, you know, like the enrollment meetings, for example, when we bring folks in and everyone's busy and everybody's, you know, they've got cars on the racks and guys are closing sales out front. It sometimes can be inconvenient to ask these guys to come in and have 15 minutes with us. However, I will tell you, we've gotten to know a lot of their staff over the years, and a great deal of them actually know and respect when we come in that we've got good information to share with them. We are very transparent. I believe Joey would agree, but I am more than willing to share with them what's happening in the healthcare system in Northeast Ohio. And, you know, we now and again, we get the questions, is Cleveland Clinic accepting our insurance yet? And, well, no, unfortunately, they're not. They demand a percentage of reimbursement that can be sometimes, you know, 300-400% of Medicare. We're not going to do it. And by the way, folks, and one of the things that we found about 2 years ago, we began educating people about the quality outcomes of hospitals in our region, all the way down to Columbus, even over to Erie or Pittsburgh. But we've been driving a common message for the past 2 years about centers of excellence and quality of care for them. And so, if someone comes to us with a new disease or onset that is, you know, it could be whether it's a cancer or a hip or knee replacement, guess what? Neither cancer or joint replacement, Cleveland Clinic is not the best in our neighborhood. It's the quality outcome scores from Quantros, which was once CareChex. There are other hospital systems like University Hospitals and a privately owned physician group in Akron, Ohio called Crystal Clinic, number one in joint replacement in north of Columbus in Ohio. Cancer Care, University Hospitals downtown Cleveland, they're number one north of Columbus for cancer care. We educate folks about these things and say, listen, cardiac, yes. Cleveland Clinic, center of excellence, yes. But for most other treatment needs, guys, there are greater quality providers in our neighborhood. We're going to not only help you get there, but we're going to see you through the whole thing, you know. And so that's what we like to do. And it's about education. You've got to be clear. You've got to be forefront. You cannot try to avoid conversations or conflicts. Some people are going to, you know, if you're looking at change management in this conversation, and rolling out RBP for the first time or a specialty drug exclusion. Listen, the more transparent you are, just like we as advisors are seeking transparency, the more understanding the employees are, as well as they quickly realize you're on their side, not on the side of an insurance company or a hospital. You're in their shoes and you want to help them.
Great. Well, and it's so interesting because one of the things that we definitely find from hearing these stories from employers all over the country is that change management piece is so critical. And the relationship and the trust with the employees is so critical. And I think, Joey, that's one of the things that it sounds like you've done an amazing job with is building the relationship and the trust with the employees, and then also really providing these avenues for communication. So are these meetings generally once a year at enrollment, or are you having more benefits discussions more often?
We do the
annual. Well, I'm going to say a few things there. That first, Bryce is, you can reach Bryce at any time. You know, let it be any of our employees. They can always reach out to Bryce or the people that work within his group. It's been very good. You know, in the dealership business, you know, we have to check boxes all the time where we're going to have training based on, you know, what OSHA regulations are or different regulations based on making sure that our credit for our customers kept confidential and kept in a secured box. You know, it's not just left out on a desk where someone could come and take it. You would carry a lot of valuable information. But I could tell you one thing, when Bryce schedules an appointment, and here they're coming to our dealership group, you know, everybody's excited to be there. And people bring questions. And they ask me specifically, hey, when are they coming back? Going back to Nurse Navigator, I do still remember some people saying, hey, we need to come to this. And afterwards, they're coming back to me saying, I'm glad we did that. So, you know, good stuff.
Yeah. And Melissa, just to really kind of address how often we're on site, typically we do the open enrollment meetings, yes, once a year, but we try to have our nurse that oversees their account stopping at each store at least quarterly. We feel that, again, face-to-face opportunities just to go over. Sometimes it's even a, you know, a bill. Hey, does this seem right, or should we be questioning, you know, if this is a balanced bill or not. Other times we get a lot of folks who just approach the nurse about their medication. You know, is there any chance I can get this prescription for less cost somewhere else? And we have a great deal of documented wins for some of his members that we've put a lot of money back in their pocket because we were able to help guide and direct on prescription drugs. So just, you know, it's good to have face-to-face often.
Well, and I love hearing that people are excited to come to the meetings when Bryce and the Nurse Navigator are there. That's just not status quo health benefits. People generally don't love talking about their benefits. Maybe they talk about their health benefits as a differentiator, but I think not usually. And then for employees to be excited to show up really speaks, I think, to the value that you have created. So well done. Do you have other, excuse me, I've got allergies today. Do you have other communications tools that you use with regard to the employees about the benefits program?
I can probably just speak on this one as well, because last year we also adopted at that time a Ben admin system for all the stores, all the employees. But we've utilized email and try not to inundate and, you know, fill people's inboxes. Just it is a more of a, you know, kind of a quarterly message, sending email out, just letting folks know of any changes or updates. Here's some healthy eating tips and such, nutrition tips. But it's really done mostly in the electronic format, not so much postcards or mailings like some folks have done. We typically do it electronically.
Great. And so one of the things I'm just looking at some of my notes that I took from the articles that have been written. So it's been in place for 7 years, and it looks like more than $1.8 million was saved in direct premium dollars. Do you want to just talk a little bit about where the premium started and what that path has looked like, Bryce?
Sure. Yep. Just to explain, and again, I would advise any Health Rosetta consultant that's on the call, you know, start from day one. Once implementing any sort of a Health Rosetta plan, start day one benchmarking where your client was and where they end up 12 months, 24, 36 months down the road. And so that's what we did with Great Lakes and some other. We have a couple manufacturing clients that we've done the same thing. But what we did is just assumed if the group had stayed enrolled with the Cleveland Auto Dealers Association and Medical Mutual, we assumed a conservative 5% annual increase if they had remained at Medical Mutual. Now most people would say, well, that's really conservative, you know, and others would say, oh, that's fair, but we wanted to be extremely conservative. So we took that and year over year just continued to take his enrollment numbers and the premiums that they had been paying in 2013 and extrapolating 5% annually. So looking at that compared to where we are with their premiums paid each year under this model is direct premium savings of that $1.8 million. We have yet to update it. Their renewal is this time each year. And so we've yet to do the latest update, but I will tell you, it's definitely going to exceed $2 million once we run the data. And again, those dollars, just think, you know, just thinking of what people, what that does for folks taking home more money, as well as even from an employer standpoint, you know, talk about raises, talk about investing further in the business or expanding the business, buying another dealership, you know, those types of things. That's what those dollars mean to Great Lakes Auto, and they have not transferred to an insurance company or a hospital or a pharmaceutical company, and that's what it's all about, so just really trying to slow down that wealth transfer.
Anything that you would want to add to that, Joey?
I think Bryce said it all. I'm all right there.
Yeah.
Great. Well, and again, one of the things we do when we talk about this household debt dividend is talk about the money staying in the community. So the money staying in the community through your employees' paychecks, it's staying in the community through your investment in additional auto dealerships. So as opposed to being, again, that wealth transfer you're talking about, Bryce, going off to the insurance company. Anything else that you want to add for the folks on the webinar about your experiences, putting this in place, lessons learned, recommendations for what you're glad you did, what you wish you had done differently?
You know, for me, you know, Automotive News just did an article on this, and we've talked on it a few times. And I guess really for us as dealers or any, you know, leader of a company, we need to be open. Right? We need to be open to ideas and learn from experts and really, you know, be on that edge of being able to offer our employees better and at the same time make our company better. I want to be cautious in how I word that just because, you know, I'm still Dennis at heart. So even though I'm a car dealer, I can tell you this, you know, I'm one of those that are analytical. I take days to make decisions rather than making it right on the spot. But you know what, this has been a home run for us and I'm glad we did it. You know what, have we looked at other things? Has other options been offered to us? Sure. You know, I've been on the executive board of this association as well as serving on other boards. You know, you get different ideas brought at you. And this one stood the test of time and it's been really good.
So. Yeah. Great. Bryce, anything you want to add?
You know, just the closing statement reiterates what I had said earlier about just being open and transparent with employees, showing empathy in any situation. If someone is having problems with a hospital, if someone's having just problems understanding their insurance or their bill, showing empathy is probably one of the most important pieces in the roles at which we play. But we really try, I do as much, I have one person in my office, I hired him as an intern, now I've hired him full time, and all he does is follow data and hospital, unfortunately, income statements of hospitals, and we try to drive home with employees, hey, listen, you know, here's a hospital system that's net income is $700 million a year. They don't pay tax on it. They don't pay tax on their real estate. And if we, you know, if you don't mind your money going there, that's great. But if we can, you know, arrive with higher quality outcomes for you and your family at a lower cost all around, you know, let us help you. And being open with those folks, that's what's done it. It's what's helped along the way. Every time we adopt a new strategy or a new plan, you know, their care is improving, patient care is improving, and their costs are remaining stable.
Yeah. Just echoing, what we find is that it's all about the data. So first getting access to that data, which is not always easy when you're fully insured. That argument about whose data is it? But having access to that data, knowing how the advisors are getting paid and the other pieces of the solution are getting paid, and then knowing where your money's going and how that compares to Medicare and other baseline references. So with that, we will transition to questions. There is a Q&A button. So if you want to submit questions, please go ahead. It looks like we have one already. So the question is the plan still on a level funded stop loss contract, and who is the TPA?
We removed the level funded plan. We are on a spec and ag plan. We did so when Joey's enrollment count exceeded 100 employees. Right now, today, on the plan, I want to say, Joey, your total employment's just over 300, but on the plan, we might have about 150 or so.
Correct.
So, yeah, it made sense to do spec and ag, and we'll remain there. The at that level, for some of the consultants that are wondering, I think we might have specs somewhere around $50,000, which seems to be pretty good. The fact of the matter is, having an RBP plan and controlling the price we pay or reimburse, we typically don't have to worry about even, we don't even nick that spec. We, you know, knock on wood, we've just had great years, year after year, and we stayed at 130% of Medicare the whole time.
Great. And for the employers who are on the call and may not know what spec and ag is, can you just put that into layman's terms?
Sure. Yeah. Specific deductible basically says that we're going to self-insure up into a certain amount. If an employee has a claim that's that exceeds $50,000, we have a reinsurance policy that will cover 100% of the claims after that $50,000 deductible that the employer, Great Lakes Auto, is willing to pay on behalf of the employee. And then ag insurance is ultimately, it's almost a secondary policy, typically hardly ever used, but it's kind of a secondary protection that just states, Great Lakes Auto, here's your maximum liability for the year. If the entire workforce was on a bus that was hit by an uninsured semi truck, you know, this is the most you'd be liable for paying in any plan year. And so we purchased both. And again, it's the risk tolerance, you know, is moderate here. So I think we've done really good with the spec and ag policies.
Awesome. And then also wanting to know who the TPA was. I would love to hear a little bit about your selection process for the TPA.
Sure. Yeah. So the TPA that we've used from the beginning until even still today is a small regional boutique in Cleveland called J.P. Farley Corporation. J.P. Farley's been around for a long, long time. If anyone is attending in Dallas next month, the HCAA conference, you can just ask around at that conference, hey, does anyone know J.P. Farley or Jim Farley? Jim, the founder of J.P. Farley, has been in the business about 45 years. He's a staple in the TPA business across the country. Many, many folks know of him, but he's also been a very early adopter of, you know, change as well as strategies. And the story, rather to in respect of time, but I met Jim personally while doing my healthcare MBA program in Cleveland. And he was my client for my final project of that MBA program. I had to prepare a 3-year strategic plan for a for-profit, privately held healthcare company. And I just happened to have Jim as my client. We met in 2005, and you know, we've done a lot of business together. I do work with other TPAs across the country, but J.P. Farley Corp has really been right there by our side with reference-based pricing and helping overcome any balanced billing situations, and we've been real satisfied with the level of service.
Great. And there's a question asking whether the spec and ag is essentially the same as partially self-funded for you.
Yeah, you know, the terminology partially self-funding and spec and ag, people use it, and I've seen it and heard it used in different ways. I'm more to say that when I hear the word partially self-funded, I label that with level funding more than anything. Spec and ag, I have a client that has about 400 employee lives on the plan. They're a school district, and we have they really only have spec, and they're at $250,000 spec deductible. You know, in my mind, they're self-insured, and they buy a reinsurance policy to protect themselves in a worst case. But I don't. Partially self-funding really, for me, goes parallel with level funding.
Great, thank you. All right. Do you do claims auditing? Is that part of the work either that you do within your firm, Bryce, or that J.P. Farley does?
Yeah, J.P. Farley does it for us and for our clients. They do some claims auditing, and they're also very, very aggressive. You know, auto adjudication is obviously a bad word, and so they watch carefully claims, typically even down to $1,000 or more. They're really watching what claims are being paid. So I would just rely on J.P. Farley, and they've done a great job for us. They've caught quite a few instances where we've been able to dial back what we were, you know, responsible for paying for the client. But J.P. Farley.
Great. Are there any specific instances of that stand out to you where their audit practice caught something that was particularly egregious or surprising?
In this case, I would say not off the top of my head, and the reason why is all but one of our clients that we have with J.P. Farley are all reference-based pricing, and so it protects. I mean, you know, we know what we're going to pay, and it's just us having a lot greater control. So that's really.
I was thinking about some of the examples that we've heard are things like a woman having 6 hysterectomies, right? And the auto adjudication just passing all 6 of those through, which medically is not really feasible. So
I see what you're saying.
So for the employers on the phone, if you haven't had a chance to read the book that Dave Chase wrote, you can get a free copy of both of his books, actually, The CEO's Guide to Restoring the American Dream and The Opioid Crisis Wake-Up Call. And they have some of these examples that, to Bryce's point, the plan that Great Lakes has in place is already protecting them, which reduces the amount of audit work that is necessary.
Yeah.
So it looks like that is the end of the questions. So I just want to thank you both again. Really great chatting with you, hearing more about how these types of principles have been able to help Great Lakes. Joey, thank you for sharing your valuable time and insights with us. And thank you everyone for joining us today. And we hope that you took something away and are able to go implement this in your business.
Thanks so much.
Good to be here. Thank you.